going to be looking at. So, gentlemen, if you will go ahead and just start handing those out. It'll take them a minute to get handed out. This will be the last sermon, at least for a little while, from Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. I don't want the text to lose its fervor as we go into 2018. But what I would like to do this evening is I would like to do an inductive analysis of Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. So if you've not been in the adult class with us that Grace has And as we've gone through a part of the book of James, Psalm, am I off, Caleb? Thank you. There we go, much better. As we've gone through a part of the book of James, I thought it would be good for us to use this method to go into Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 and really seek to see what's going on in this text. All right? So I'll give them just a minute more to get those passed out. Hurry up, Tom. So if you don't have your colored pencils tonight, that is perfectly all right. I didn't expect anybody to. I would, however, urge you, if you would like, get out a pencil or a pen. That's all you're going to need tonight. I'm going to show you all some methods using just a pencil or pen. That's all you'll really need tonight as we go through this. We good? Thank you, gentlemen. Hearts of servants. So if you look at Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 with me, this is from the World English Bible. It's the one that I'm memorizing for this year. I don't care which one you're seeking to memorize from. As I've said 100 times, I don't care what translation you use for your memorizing. But for this text, I have always struggled understanding this text because this is a long run-on sentence. If you look at the beginning of verse 11, I want you to just very quickly go with me, use your pencil, and just try to look for the period. If you look at the end of verse 11, there's a semicolon. End of verse 12, there's a comma. End of verse 13, there's a comma. The end of verse 14, there's a semicolon. The end of verse 15, there's a comma. And then you don't get to a period to the very end of verse 16. I'm going to venture to say if one of Jerry's students had turned a sentence like this into her for a paper, she would have probably taken awesome grammar points. This is a big, long run-on sentence. There's a lot going on in this sentence. Paul, as is his nature so often in the book of Ephesians, has these great run-on sentences. Punctuation was really non-existent in the Greek language, so all of these punctuation marks are completely arbitrary based on our interpreters. But still, Paul has a grand thought that he is presenting here. And what he's demonstrating is that there is a coherent thought relating to the body of Christ. So what we're going to do is we're going to do like we've done with the inductive method so far. We're going to go through the steps. And in addition, this evening, I'm going to show y'all one additional aspect of the inductive method that Grace and I have not introduced yet, simply because it's so critical to understanding this text. All right, so number one, what are we going to do? Read again. Let's read it three times. Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 11. Christ gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some shepherds and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, to the work of serving, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a full-grown man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may no longer be children tossed back and forth and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in craftiness after the wiles of error. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom all the body, being fitted and knit together, through which every joint supplies, according to the working and measure of each individual part, makes the body increase to the building up of itself in love. Now, step time two, I'd like for you to just listen, please. So just listen, okay? Christ gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherds and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, to the work of serving, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a full-grown man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may no longer be children, tossed back and forth and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and craftiness after the wiles of error, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. From all the body being fitted and knit together, through which every joint supplies, according to the working and measure of each individual part, makes the body increase to the building up of itself in love. Time three, let's read it together from the screen. Christ gave some to be apostles, some prophets, and some of them, I'm sorry, not together, I was just meaning with your eyes, okay? Sorry. Christ gave some to be apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists and teachers, and some shepherds and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, to the work of serving, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a full-grown man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may no longer be children, tossed back and forth and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and craftiness after the wiles of error, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom all the body being fitted and knit together, through which every joint supplies, according to the working and measure of each individual part, makes the body increase to the building of itself in love. Whew, that's a long sentence. What is Paul getting at here? There are a lot of different verbs. There's a bunch of different subjects. There's some few different predicates, a lot of different modifiers. What's he really getting at in this big, long sentence? Well, I think as we continue on, I think we'll find out. Of course, step two, the inductive method, the five W's and the H. I'm going to go through these very quickly. Who is speaking to whom? Well, of course, this is Paul speaking to the Ephesians. We overviewed the book of Ephesians 2 weeks ago, so this shouldn't be new information at all. That's why I'm going fairly quickly. What is this text about? Well, the book of Ephesians is about Paul's mystery, chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. And it's also about blessings in Christ, chapters 1, 3 through 4, verses 3 and 4. When was this text written? A bit later. What's unique about the book of Ephesians is it is really the only of Paul's epistles that is not written as a response to a problem. Every other epistle that Paul writes is either because there's a problem or, in the case of Philippians, a specific situation that Paul's responding to. Ephesians isn't like that at all. There's nothing that the church at Ephesus has done that Paul is writing this letter to them for. Rather, it's because he's received this revelation and wants to share it with them. Where was this text written? It's a bit difficult to tell, but of course, where was it first read? Of course, at Ephesus. Why was it written? To record Paul's insight into the mystery of Revelation, and then how did the author make his point? Of course, through a letter. He wrote them a letter. So if you have any questions about that, listen to 2 weeks ago. I'll have extra copies of the sermon outline for that one. Step three, identify themes. Identify themes. Hopefully, as we were going through this, you were listening for themes that stuck out to you in the text. Now, if we were in a more of a class scenario, we'd talk through various ones that you've seen, but simply because of the format of this evening, I'll tell you the two that have really stuck out to me. The first is Christ. Christ is all throughout this text. So we'll go back through it in a second, but here's what I've done. Because I didn't have a color pencil with me when I did my own copy of this, I did my own a few days ago, what I did was I used a pencil. Every time I saw Christ, I underlined it, okay? I did a double underline even, just so he sticks out. All right? We'll go back through that in a second. And then also, this other thing that I noticed is the body of Christ. There is a lot in this text about the body of Christ. And again, because I didn't have color pencils, what I did was I just put a mark through it every time I found the body of Christ. So let's identify our key terms. Christ, verse 11, the pronoun there, he, refers to Christ. Christ gave some to be apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some shepherds and teachers. So again, in verse 11, because I really want Christ to stick out, I've underlined him. And then look at verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, to the work of serving, to the building up of the body of Christ. It may be a bit difficult to see, but what I did with mine was I just put a line through body of Christ, just so it sticks out in the text a little bit. Until we attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, underline, to a full-grown man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, underline. So I'll leave this up here just for 1 second. Christ is quite a few places through here, right? He's in the beginning of verse 11. He's in verse 13 twice. And then you see the body of Christ in verse 12 going on. That we may no longer be children, tossed back and forth and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in craftiness after the wiles of error. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Again, I underlined Him. From whom all the body, strike, being fitted and knit together through that every joint supplies, according to the working and measure of each individual part, makes the body, strike, increase to the building of itself up in love. So, this is a situation where, to me, I went through Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, and I saw there's Christ, there's the Son of God, there's the fullness of Christ. Christ is referred to as the head, and then you have the body, you have the body of Christ, the body again, you have all the body, and finally you have the body. But still, what in the world is Paul getting at here? This is still just a confusing, difficult text. Because there's so many different pieces here, it's difficult to get a glimpse of the big picture that Paul's going through. So this is the part of the lesson where I would like to introduce another tool to your toolbox that will help us as we come to observe and study God's Word. And this is step 5, which Grayson and I have skipped over so far, just for the sake of simplicity so far. But what I would like to do is, I would like for us to mark key transition and comparison and contrast terms. I think you'll see why in a minute. But one aspect of Bible study that is very helpful when you get to these long run-on sentences or these long texts that are difficult to see what's going on is it's sometimes very helpful to figure out what all of the transition terms are doing. Now let me show you a few symbols. Grayson came up with these. For a transition term, and I think this makes a lot of sense, he put a, what would you call that, Grayson? A forward-looking arrow? An arrow, yeah. Okay, just an arrow, okay? So whenever we get to something in the text, there's an arrow here. Now, this is coming from James 3:13. And what it's doing is it's helping us see a flow in the text. We're helping the text flow, okay? We'll do this in a second. I'll have this up here as examples in a second. For me, whenever there's a contrast, I do a strike through it. That lets me know there's a sharp contrast in the text between two things. Okay? So these are the only two different marks that I'm going to teach y'all this evening. But I think it's going to be very helpful as we look at Ephesians 4. All right? So again, let's note where we are. Christ gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherds and teachers for the perfecting of the saints to the work of serving. So again, I'll go through that again. Christ gave this for the perfecting of the saints to the work of serving. So now it helps cut down this big run-on sentence a little bit. Because now I'm starting to see some of the transitions that are here. Let's continue. For the perfecting of the saints, to the work of serving, to the building up of the body of Christ, until, there's another transition term, until we attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a full-grown man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may no longer. Now this one, pay close attention with me. If you look at verse 14, that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro, this is a negative here. It's a negative. That we may no longer. So because he's contrasting two things, I did a mark here. That way it's easy to see what exactly Paul is contrasting, okay? So again, let's note where we are. First time going through it, we did our underlines with Christ and the body. Now what we're doing is we're picking out transition terms just to see the flow of the text. If you're having difficulty understanding what transition terms are, grammatically, these are adverbs and at times conjunctions. You don't have to know what those are. But essentially, just think of it in everyday language. These are words that we use to signal a transition. For, until, that. Just, you're getting somewhere. So that's what he's doing here in the text. That we may no longer be children, tossed back and forth and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and craftiness after the wiles of error. Now at the beginning of verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, Kirby, I'm going to call on you. What are we probably going to do there? There you go. We're going to strike it. Very good. We're going to strike it. I knew that's what you meant. That's why I gave you credit. So here, but speaking the truth in love. There's a contrast here between verse 14 and verse 15. Okay? But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom all the body being fitted and knit together through that which every joint supplies according to the working and measure of each individual part makes the body increase to the building up of itself in love. So we could go in more depth with this, but for me, I think all we're going to have to do at the beginning of each verse, these simple marks are going to help us see the flow of the text. Okay? So I'll show you again one more time just what we did. Look at verse 15. Because you have a contrast, but speaking, then you get to verse 16, from whom? From whom? The question is he making a contrast of thoughts, or is he expounding upon a thought further? If he's making a contrast, you're going to do a... If he's just taking a thought a bit further, he's flowing on. All right? He's flowing on. So then, how in the earthly world does this help us at all? How does this help us at all? Well, I'd like for us to go back through this and understand now what this text is getting at just by marking transition terms. Just by marking transition terms. Again, we've noted the text is about the relationship between Christ and the body. Those are the two central themes that I really think are prevalent to the text, Christ and the body. The question, though, and I think this is what's going to help us to see, what's Christ and the body, Christ and the body doing? What are Christ and the body doing? What is Christ doing for the body? What is the body doing for Christ? What's the relationship here? Well, let's go through it again. Christ gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherds and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, to the work of serving, to the building up of the body of Christ. So here we've already broken this text down a little bit. We've dissected it and made it in more digestible parts. Rather than seeing these, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, six verses, I now see a coherent thought. Christ gave these gifts for the building up of the body. That's ultimately why he gave them. But then you look at verse 12. How does this connect to verse 13? Until we attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. You try to connect verse 12 and verse 13. What is the end goal of edification, of building up, of perfecting? What is the end goal of the work of service? What is the objective that we're reaching toward? Until we attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a full-grown man. So here you could look at it from another way, even just taking out verse 12. Christ gave gifts until we become mature. So what's he getting at here? Christ gave all these gifts so that we can edify. Until then, we become mature. Continuing to verse 14. There's a contrast here. What's that thing going to tell us? What he's going to show is, this is what you should not be like. This is what you should not be like. What Paul wants them to become is he wants them to become a full-grown man. He wants them to reach the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may no longer be children tossed back and forth and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and craftiness after the wiles of error. So again, let's just take this thought and digest it again. Christ gave gifts for the work of edification until we reach maturity, that we may no longer be children. But, speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. What He's doing here is, He's hearkening back to an idea that He introduced in verse 13. Again, there's a contrast. And again, it's difficult to note because this is on two slides. Do you note how verse 14 is contrasted? It's bookended with two contrasts. What that's showing us is verse 14 is conceptually different from the rest of the text. Because in the rest of the text, he's talking about positive things. But because you have this one part of the text where you have two contrasts, this is the negative thing that you don't want to do. But then, speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Then what has Christ done? From whom all the body, being knit together and through which every joint supplies. You know what's interesting here? Verse 15, what are we doing? We're growing up into Christ, but verse 16, from whom all the body being fitted and knit together, Christ is not only the end goal, but He's also the foundation. Exactly. Exactly. And that's what that text is demonstrating for us. Is Christ is not only our end goal, but from whom all the body being fitted and knit together, through which every joint supplies, according to the working of measure in each individual part, makes the body increase to the building up of itself in love. So what then is Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 about? Christ gave gifts, verse 11, for the building up of the body, verse 12, until we become mature, verse 13, and then you know where I'm going, verse 14, no longer children, but growing into Christ, from whom all the body grows. That's what Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 is about. Brethren, do you see what we just did? We made the Word of God understandable. We took a section of text that to me has been difficult to comprehend and been difficult to digest, and we've cut it down to a digestible piece. Okay? Allow me to make this analogy, and please don't see it as irreverent at all. But if I'm going to put an 18-ounce sirloin in front of Kirby, Kirby, are you just going to take that and just shove it in your throat? I've seen you eat 6 hot dogs. The answer is yes. But for most other people, what are we going to do first? You're going to get your knife, get your fork, and you're going to cut it to where you can put it in digestible pieces. Right? If you try putting that whole steak down your throat, you're going to get choked. And that's likewise how the Word of God is. The Word of God, as 1 Peter 2:2 tells us, is there for our nourishment. It is there that we may grow, Hebrews 5:14. It is there that we may mature, Ephesians 4:13. But what do we have to do? We have to know how to digest it. So often we get choked on the Word, and so often we get turned off by the complexity that we forget the Word of God is actually very simple. We just have to know how to digest it. We have to know how to consume it. We have to know how to put it into those individual pieces that then can give us the nutrition that we need. And that's all that we did. What we did was not a training in advanced grammar. All it was going through the verses, seeing some key words, understanding their relationship, and then trying to see what's Paul getting at. So then let's go into step 6 then. Let's outline the text. This is one I've struggled with. I don't know if y'all have caught me yet. I have not given y'all an outline of Ephesians 4:11 through 16 yet this year. Because I have really struggled outlining this text until I went through this exercise. But now it's very intuitive. What's the theme all about? It's about the building up of the body of Christ. That's what this is about. It's about the building up of the body of Christ. If you want to understand how to build up the body, if you want to understand how to reach maturity, if you want to understand how to become a full-grown man, look to Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. So, what's in this text about? Well, in 11 and 12, he's telling us the methods of building. The methods of building. Again, we don't build with brick and mortar, but we build with service. We build with edification. We build with the spiritual gifts that God has given us. These are the methods of building. And then what do verse 13 and 14 tell us? It's all about the outcomes of building. Verse 13, until we attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the fullness of Christ. What we are doing is we are reaching toward mature manhood. But then verse 14, that we may no longer be children, tossed back and forth. What we need to shoot for is not being children, but being mature, being grounded in truth and walking in love. And then finally in verse 15 and 16, he goes back to methods of building. He goes back and explains we need to speak the truth in love. Each part needs to be working properly. Everything needs to be coming together that the body may increase ultimately to the glory of Christ. So is this text a big, long sentence that can be difficult to digest? If we take it in one big gulp, yeah, we're going to get choked. But if we take it and we digest it and we see the beauty of God's Word, it's there for our nourishment. So practically, let's put this to use. If I were to ask you, what is the goal of spiritual maturity? Where would you look? It's a rhetorical question. Hopefully you're thinking verse 13. And what is that goal? To the measure of mature manhood. If I were to ask you, well, as you seek to mature in Christ, what do you want to avoid? Look to verse 14. Don't be a child. If I were to ask you, well, how do we reach maturity? Look to verse 11. Look to the various gifts. Look to verse 15, looking to the speaking of the truth in love. If I were to ask you, how does the body of Christ relate to Christ Himself? Well, in verse 11, Christ gave gifts for the perfecting of the saints. And then verse 15 into verse 16, the body is then to grow up into Christ. Christ gave the gifts that we may then grow up into Him. It's a beautiful, beautiful text. And we are going to be able to search the depths of this text throughout this entire year. No, not every sermon I'm going to have is going to come from Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. But we will look at it quite a bit. But I hope now after going through this exercise together, we understand the individual parts, we see the beauty of the whole, and we understand what our Christ wants from us. Christ gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some shepherds and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints to the work of serving, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a full-grown man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may no longer be children, tossed back and forth and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in craftiness after the wiles of error, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom all the body, being fitted and knit together, through which every joint supplies, according to the working of the measure of each individual part, makes the body increase to the building up of itself in love. May this be our goal. May these be our methods. And may we do this to the glory of God in 2018. Get out your songbooks, please. So does Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 make a little bit more sense? I hope so. It certainly does to me. Excuse me. As I said, I have struggled for so long to understand that text. Because Paul is normally the greatest writer of prose in the Bible. I mean, perhaps save the author of the book of Hebrews, whoever he was. Paul's prose is normally just flawless. But this is a text that I thought didn't make sense because it seemed like he jumped around. There was this thought in the middle about being children that didn't really seem to fit in, because then he goes back to speaking the truth and about maturity. But then as I went through this method and I understood the text, I understood, well, it's all about reaching maturity. It's all about showing the outcomes and the methods of maturity. And that's what this text is about. Throughout this year, we're going to talk about maturing and serving in Christ. May we never become so focused in our service that we forget it's all to the glory of Christ. And may we never become so distracted by the world that we forget it's to the glory of Christ. All that we do needs to be to the glory of Christ. He is certainly worthy. He gave himself for us. He saved us. As we discussed this morning, he brought us back when we were afar. Let us give him our service. If you need to come to him and render your life in obedience to him, come forward while we stand and sing.